4CBA Mobile.
David KN4CFW.
What's cooking this afternoon?
Myself to the house after work. Annette, how about you? It's either pizzas at Marco's or it's tennis.
Right on the second one.
What's the second one?
It's been 2 weeks and I went to a clinic last night. The doctor cut me loose Saturday, so I went to a clinic last night and played for an hour and a half, and I did great. I wasn't, you know, tired or anything, so I'm playing two matches tonight, so we'll see how that goes. That's 3 hours of tennis.
Better shape than I am.
What kind of shape you're in, but I just, you know, just trying to stay active as long as I can, and I have a few aches and pains, but you know, nothing major.
You blame me for that. I need to get moving and to be more active and that, but I'm not retired yet, so I'm still in the workforce.
When I was working, we still played. I had a different group. I wasn't a member of the sports club then, and but we had a doubles, you know, team set up, and we played at least once a week, if not twice a week, and then. One of the guys in the doubles group, we played singles a good bit. So I got in a good bit of tennis even before I joined the sports club. That was 2 years ago.
The guy played a good bit of tennis. His name was Kevin Hall. You know him?
My dad.
He plays a lot of tennis around Greenville, but he must be on a different club.
Just different groups. I mean, you know, he might play with the Greenville Country Club, or there's a league called the Freedom League, and I was on that for a while. I think I did it last fall, but I just didn't like it. It's kind of, I don't know, not very well organized. But anyway, so I was just trying to get some more tennis in, but I've worked it out at the sports club where I'm playing, you know, 4 or 5 days a week now.
But you're staying active in that, and it should help you live a long life. KN4TFW.
My wife got, we both had COVID, and I got over mine, and then my wife got it. I'm sure I gave it to her, and she got pneumonia, and the doctor, well, actually, our daughter, the nurse, lives in Somerville. She bought one of those thing that checks your what do they call it? Anyway, the thing they stick on the end of your finger, you know, to check your oxygen saturation rate, and it also checks your pulse. And I just stuck it on my finger the other night, just for the heck of it. And I was walking around doing stuff, and my saturation rate was 96%, which is excellent, and my heart rate was 50.
It was an hour and a half to 3 hours of tennis 3 or 4 times a week. Your cardio would be real good.
And nurses take my pulse and look at me and go, "You feel all right?"
So they don't see that often, and they question it. That's what they do with me. It's like, what medication are you on? No, I ain't taking any. Are you sure?
Years ago, I was getting the flu shot, and I get it, you know, from my doctor, my PCP, and I was having my regular 6-month checkup, and it was, I think, like September, October, anyway. It was time for the flu shot, and so the nurse walks in. I must have a funny look on my face or something. I don't know what I look like, but she said, "Now you're not gonna pass out on me, are you?" So I don't know. I don't know what kind of vibe I was giving off, but you know, shots don't bother me. In fact, I usually don't even feel them anymore. They just, you know. They use such a small gauge needle, and most nurses are really good at giving shots. It's not like the old days.
That's plenty of practice these days, for sure, right?
And I remember, I was a child in the 60s, and every time I went to the doctor, I got a shot. I hated going to the doctor. And they use those big, round, metal things to put the medicine in. And the needle was about the size of a 16-penny nail, you know. It looked like that to me anyway. You know, and there was only one nurse that could give a shot, and it didn't hurt. And I would ask for her every time. I didn't get her every time, but anyway. But that was, I remember those shots, and I dreaded those things more than anything.
These days, I wasn't far behind you, but yeah, it's a big old needle.
I had to go to this pathology place one time and years ago and get blood for some blood work, and back then they didn't have the little test tube things they have now, and they and she drew it out of my arm, and so she stuck it in the vein in the arm where you bend your arm. And she was drawing the blood out, but she just evidently just didn't get the vein just right, and it burned like fire the whole time she was doing it, and it took her forever. And then I sat there a few minutes. She came back out with another needle, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, that blood clotted, so we got to get another sample." And she reached for the same arm, and I said, I gave her the other one.
On that one. Yeah, it's a one-shot deal, right?
Obviously, you hadn't had a lot of practice or something, but you can tell, you can tell nurses they've given a lot of shots and the ones that haven't. And I went to the ER see a guy. I was a minister, and I went to see him, and they were in there trying to start an IV, and they had stuck him 4 times in his hand, and then they went over to the other hand. Because they couldn't get a vein, and it was a guy, and there was blood dripping all over the floor, and I said you need to find somebody else to do that, and I went and got somebody, and they had a fit because I think it was after either 2 or 3 sticks. If you can't find a vein yet, you're supposed to go and get help.
Time to call in the reinforcements, right? KN4TFW.
I I just, you know, I mean, that really just got all over me. You know, I saw stuff like that a lot. I saw stuff I can't share in the air. Anyway, oh me. I spent one Labor Day with a guy, a church member. He had fallen out of a tree, fell 15 feet, broke both legs, and one of them was a compound fracture. And so the EMS guys came in there, and he was on this slab of plastic, and they called it a human spatula. And they needed it back because they were leaving, you know, to go make other calls. And they needed their spatula back, so they needed to slide it out from under him. And the nurse looked at me and she said, "We've given him," she told me how much morphine. And she said, "But there's no amount of painkillers that's going to, you know, help him with him. Yeah, have broken both his legs, the, you know, bone that big." And so they started to pull that thing out from under him. He started screaming, and he just passed out from the pain. It was so bad.
See that? Yeah, that don't sound good at all. I've been pretty fortunate. Only broke an ankle, and I was 20, but I still pay for it every day.
My son-in-law, the one that's his job moved into Somerville. He has a degree in packaging science, and he's working for outfit that supplied parts for BMW, and then they lost that contract, but they got Volvo. So they had that big Volvo plant down there. Off of 26, I'm sure if you've gone down 26 toward Chelsea, you've seen it there on the left. He runs that plant, and so anyway, but he used to be a firefighter, and he was out on the call, and my daughter was there for some reason. I don't know why she was there, but she was just standing on the sidelines, and it was at night. She stepped off a curb and broke her ankle in three places, so they had to take her to the ER.
18 feet and landed on it on the hard packed clay dirt. It was so hard it was broke open from lack of rain and that, and it bent it all backwards and that. And they waited about 6 months before they realized that it was broke.
Gosh, good cow, that's unreal. Well, I'll tell you, I had, when I was a kid, we had a guy that was alcoholic, grew up across the street, and, grew up, he lived there when I was growing up, and he would come over, only time he'd come over is when he was drunk. And he broke it, one of his ankles, and it had swollen up, I mean, like three times the size it should be, his leg down there and everything. It was just awful, and he had all these sores on it. And he went to the ER, and he was drunk, and he didn't stay. He went back home, and so the next day, he was begging me to take him to the ER, and I said, "I'll take you if you'll stay." And he said, "Yeah, I'll stay this time." So I took him,
and it was a month almost before I could leave it just hang down where it wouldn't keep swelling up. It took me a while to get moving on it, but once I got moving, it wasn't too bad.
Real. Well, I've never, the only joint I've broken is the end of the very last joint on my little finger on my left hand. I was trying to catch a line drive in softball, and I thought I had it in the pocket, and I didn't, and it caught the glove right there where your little finger is inside the glove, and it bent it back and broke it, and I didn't even feel it. And I took my glove off for some reason, and then my finger started hurting, and I looked at it, and it was kind of a L shape on the end. So I knew something was wrong, so I just pulled it back out straight. I mean, you know, I figured, what the heck? I didn't even go to the doctor.
He's charging and tell you that you broke it, right?
There's a little metal splints and, wrap some tape around it. And so I figured, heck, I can do that. And so, anyway. Well, I'm sitting here at the tennis club, sports club, I'm sorry, and I guess I'll jump out and get warmed up here. I got a game in 20 minutes. There's probably some guys on the court already warming up, so, and I definitely need to warm up, so I guess I better run. You take care. Good to talk to you, and I'll say 73s and clear out of here after your final KB4 CPA.
All right, David, good talking to you and that, and I'm glad you got over that COVID, and I hope you play an awesome game tonight. Look forward to talking to you again. This is KN4TFW 73.
4TFW, KO4CF.
That'd be on a different radio, KN4TFW.
House, just got back from the shop, picked the truck up, so get my radio installed here shortly.
So what was the verdict on the truck?
The battery on the driver's side was completely dead, meaning it wouldn't take a charge or hold a load. I mean, it wouldn't do anything, and that was the one closest to the computer. It's running, so.
Yeah, I know that. And cost you probably, what, a $250 battery, but at least at least you got it back running. It wasn't more serious than that.
I was thinking $1,000 or more. And end up, since he was the one to put the battery in, he replaced it free, but then I had to pay him for the labor and whatnot.
Yeah, vehicle, especially a newer one.
Yeah, diesel. If it ain't easier right on top of the engine, I'm not doing anything with it.
In the mid-70s, I don't like working on it.
Where there's barely anything in the engine compartment. Now everything's just packed in and it's fully loaded.
A 1954 Chevrolet truck, and I think that thing had about one wire on it. Went from the key to the, you know, to the coil, and then that was about it.
It used to be you could just about fit in the engine compartment, and now, I mean, you got to take all the plastic off of it to even see anything through it.
You got 2 hours to take its stuff off before you can even see what's wrong.
Right there. Yeah, he was telling me about it, and I'm just like, no, I'm not. Said something about, because my glow plug sensor's been going off. He says, you know, I can fix that for you, but you need to do this. And I'm just like, nope, I'll bring it back. I won't do that myself.
Yes, sir, and it isn't in too bad of a spot. Maybe you could just replace it yourself, right?
Yeah, but then I need to replace the wires to it, because I'm sure they've been on there a pretty good while. I mean, it's an 06. Probably never been replaced. Who knows?
Well, I better let you go. I pulled up in the driveway, and I know the dog's going to be barking for sure. I'm sure she heard me. So.
73s, hopefully we'll talk to you in the morning on my truck radio instead of that handy talkie. This is KO4CF, and I'll be clear on your final.
This is sounding a lot better than it was. I figured it was a different radio, and I hope to catch you in the morning. As long as I ain't running late, KN4TFW 73.